Since we gathered a week ago to celebrate Easter Sunday, God has called our brother and friend, Pope Francis, home to be with him. Though we're saddened by his passing as our beloved father and brother, shepherd and friend, we're comforted by the timing of his death on Easter Monday, the day after the Lord's resurrection from the dead. And we trust that he's at home with the Lord whom he served, and whom the Lord loved. And he continues to speak to us of God, who uses us as his instrument to bring about his love and goodness and mercy. And so he has invited us time and time again. He invites us to view life as a pilgrimage, one marked by hope and perseverance, and above all, no matter what, be faithful to God as he is faithful to us. And so many times when he would close a visit with his people, he'd say, "Please pray for me." Now that he's journeyed on, we ask him to pray for us, that the light might shine, the love may deepen, and faith may indeed prosper. The great author Tolstoy once told a story about a czar and czarina who wished to honor the members of their court with a banquet. And they sent out invitations and requested that the guests come with the invitations in their hands. When they arrived at the banquet, the guests were surprised that the guards did not look at the invitation at all. Instead, they examined their hands. Well, the guests wondered about this, but they also were curious to see who the czar and the czarina would choose as a guest of honor to sit between them at the banquet. And they were flabbergasted to see that it was the old scrubwoman who had worked for years to keep the palace clean. Having examined her hands, the guards declared, "You have the proper credentials to be the guest of honor. We can see your love and loyalty in your hands. We can see your love and loyalty in your hands." After his crucifixion, the disciples of Jesus were trying to sort out the reports that he had received about appearances of the risen Lord. It was still confusing to them. And suddenly it happened. Jesus stood among them, and the disciples were startled and frightened. "Is this some kind of ghost?" But then he showed them his hands and his feet. The response of the disciples is a sermon in itself. John tells us the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. As we heard, one person wasn't there. It was Thomas. By the way, Thomas's middle name was Didymus, which means twin. And the disciples said to him, "We have seen the Lord." And Thomas Didymus said, "Unless I see the mark of nails in his hands and put my finger into his nail marks, put my hand into his side, I will not believe." So on the Sunday after Easter, on today, Jesus again stood in their midst. Thomas was there, and immediately Jesus said to Thomas, "Thomas, put your finger here and see my hands, and bring your hand and put it into my side, and do not be unbelieving, but believe." Without any doubt, Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." In many ways, Thomas is not alone. How many of us can be his twin? How many of us have the problem of doubting, can this really be for real? How many of us want to believe, but something holds us back? The idea of God with nail prints in his hands and his feet is an idea that we're not ready to really believe. But friends, God so loved the world that God sent his only Son to bear the burden brought about by our sins, our unfaithfulness, and our waywardness. And as we look at the nail marks in his hands and feet, as well as the one in his side, how can you not believe that God really cares about you, about me, about everyone in the entire world? As we heard, today is the Feast of Divine Mercy, placed on the second Sunday of Easter by dear St. John Paul II. After proving revelations to a Polish nun, Sister Faustina, who reported visits from the risen Christ each night for 7 years in her convent room. And simply the message is that Jesus is the face of God's mercy. The image of Jesus appearing to her can be seen over the altar here. It shows the heart of Jesus, and from the heart radiates rays of love and forgiveness and mercy. Very simply, the message of the divine mercy can be broken down to three simple parts, A, B, and C. A, ask for his mercy. Ask and we shall receive. Our God invites us to ask for his mercy upon ourselves, upon our family, upon our nation, upon our whole world. Today's gospel also provides us the opportunity to receive God's mercy by seeking him out in holy confession, the sacrament of reconciliation, new life. what the early fathers of the church called second baptism, when our sins are washed away by our tears. If A is for ask for mercy, B is for be merciful. Jesus wants you and me to receive his mercy and to let it flow through us to others. Remember, Jesus said, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And this is very important. The law of the echo, we set the limits of how much God forgives us by how much we forgive one another. Didn't Jesus teach us to pray every day, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us? Be merciful. And finally, C. C is for confidence. C is for confidence and complete trust in God. God invites us to put our total trust in him, not only on sunny days, but not so sunny days. In joy and in sorrow, in hope and disappointment, in sickness and in health, in life and in death and beyond. A promise that we never give up on. In today's bulletin, there's a little prayer on page 7 called the Litany of Trust. It might help us, along with our litany of gratitude every day we live, to pray the Litany of Trust. Near his picture are those words, Jesus, I trust in you. I truly do, because you are my life. You are my answer. You are my hope.